Now, you know I'm not one to pat myself on the back, but sometimes you just have to do it. And that's what we're going to do this week. We're going to go back a couple episodes to the time when I did the ranking of the rookie receivers for the 2020 NFL Draft. And I told you how I thought those rookie receivers should come off the board. We're going to find out who was right. So let's start the list. My number one receiver, Henry Ruggs III out of Alabama. Henry Ruggs, 6 feet tall, 190 pounds. He lit up the board at the combine by scorching the 40-yard dash as the fastest of all skilled players this year. It is said of Ruggs that he possesses legendary speed in the same range of a John Ross or Corey Coleman. Unlike those two, though, Ruggs is more than just a speed guy. He has proven that he can run all kinds of routes, and he isn't just a one-trick pony. He has exceptional body control and footwork. He also has the ability to set up defenders and then turn on the speed to get wide open. The best, most legit comparison for Ruggs, according to the scouts, would be Tyreek Hill with a better route running ability, and that's scary.
So with the 12th pick of the 2020 NFL Draft, the Las Vegas Raiders select Henry Ruggs, wide receiver, Alabama.
Say what?
My number two receiver available and should be the number two guy off the board. Also from Alabama, Jerry Jeudy. He stands 6 foot 1 inches tall and weighs in at 192 pounds. Obviously, I have Jeudy listed as my number two ranked wide receiver, while many others likely have him at number one. Either way, you're talking Jeudy and Ruggs. They're both studs.
With the 15th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Denver Broncos select Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver, Alabama.
What did you say?
My number three receiver off the board this year should be CeeDee Lamb of Oklahoma. He's a 6 foot two receiver, weighs 190 pounds. Lamb and Jeudy and Ruggs are taking up my whole first tier. You really can't go wrong with any one of these three receivers.
With the 17th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Dallas Cowboys select CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver, Oklahoma.
And then there were these gems from the last podcast. Kansas City Chiefs make the final first-round fantasy-relevant pick this year, and with Jonathan Taylor still on the board, the Chiefs will shock the world and grab Clyde Edwards-Helaire instead. He fits Andy Reid's scheme better than Jonathan Taylor does, and they pick him in the first round in order to gain an extra year on the rookie contract. And now, here's this week's episode.
Welcome to the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast. All the information you need to make the most of your fantasy football league with just a touch of sarcasm to keep you from taking yourself too seriously. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this latest episode of the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast. It's Dave. It's Dan. And it's our, fourth quarantine show, our fourth social distancing podcast.
Fourth too many.
not only is it our fourth social distancing podcast, that means it's been 2 months of this lockdown in your house garbage. But I got out today to the in-laws, and
they put you to work, I hear.
I did all kinds of gardening, more than I was going there to do, but that's how you get on the wheel.
I think there's only two of them, right? I would think you guys are on the wheel somewhere, but do you feel like sometimes during this quarantine you're actually more active now than you
were before?
Before all this?
More active. I need to be more active because I found out today I'm not in that great a shape.
I hear
sawing down some dead trees, and it's like I'm not really doing this the way I should be. You know, I'm trying to catch my breath a lot.
I hear you. I just feel like I feel like, well, we made the mistake of, or I shouldn't say mistake. we made the mistake, I guess, of buying a puppy right now, and I feel like we're on the move all the time.
You're paying for that decision?
Yes. My wife's working at home, and she says she does more stairs than she's did her entire life at work.
That's not bad. Stairs are better than, you know, sitting on your butt all day.
That's true.
But you know what? It not only is it our fourth social distance show. It's May 2nd, and with May 2nd, a new month, comes all kinds of new announcements for this podcast and the fans of this podcast. And we're trying to make this more friendly and enjoyable for everybody. So let's start with this. First of all, we have a new website. I mean, it's the same. Well, it's not the same. It's a website now that's going to be just for the podcast. Before, we were kind of like sharing a podcast with the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football League because, you know, that's how the whole podcast started. Well, it's time to change that up. Now we have a website that is focused, like I said, just on this podcast. You can check it out by going to cffpodcast.com. Like I always say, everything we talk about on the show, and now I can actually guarantee that everything we talk about will be up on that podcast.com website. All the links for the news and notes are right there. All the extra stuff that may not have anything to do with news and notes, that's all there. All of our picks when we venture into the picks that we have already made in our sports investing segments, those are up there. Our rainbow bets are up there that we occasionally make throughout the season. And those are updated whenever necessary. In fact, I had to update one with a Dan Wins thing on it. But
which one did I win? Oh,
the two running backs in the first round.
Yes.
Duh. All of our bold predictions, they're up on the front page, and those will be updated as they become either a truly bold prediction or just a stupid comment on our part. Each page not quite yet, but they're getting there. Each page of the website, at the top of the website, on the little header of it, has our podcast logo with our gorgeous faces cartoon drawn on there, as well as our email addresses where you can, you know, send us your email. And that way you don't have to listen back to the podcast to hear us say, you know, send us email to cffpodcast@hotmail.com, or you can send one to Dan by writing to
strap1971@yahoo.com.
And so there you go. The fan line number is also listed on each page of the website, so you can either call or text us your thoughts or comments or questions. Use it. There's a page that has all the links to where you can find and subscribe to the podcast. Although if you're already listening right now, you already know where to find it, but hey, they're all there. Just click on them and follow the instructions and subscribe. Finally, and in some people's minds, more importantly, the Fantasy Girl page is also there for your viewing pleasure. So there you go. Check back after each publication of the latest podcast, and you can see all the updates. And with that great news, it's now time to move on with the episode, unless you have something else you need to talk about.
No, I'm ready.
All right. Well, then we're going to go with the news and notes. In fact, we have tons of news and notes. I mean, this week, we're going to be going over
the stuff happening.
Oh man, we had the draft last week, and a lot of stuff to talk about on that. And then, of course, we have so much news and notes that there isn't anything else except the news and notes, and then the Fantasy Girl, and that's it.
Wow.
So, like I said, if it's not obvious, this is podcast is going to deal with the draft. In fact, as we were told numerous times over 3 days, the first ever virtual NFL draft. And I must say, as much fun as the draft would have been in Las Vegas, I didn't think this whole virtual draft thing was that bad. Did you?
I actually loved it. I thought it went smoother, faster.
Yeah, I mean,
faster.
It went a lot faster, right? Yeah.
Not the first round, but I thought the rounds after, I thought, went way faster.
I mean, we were being warned all along that there would be all kinds of technical problems with all the teams trying to draft online, and I didn't see any problems at all over the 3 days. I mean, unless you consider Roger Goodell in the first round constantly trying to whoop it up with the team fans that were on the TV set behind him.
I'm like, dude, just stop.
I mean, it looked completely foolish every time he did it. So that would be my only technical problem.
When you're making $40 million, I don't think you really give a damn what you look like.
And he took a little pay cut, though, right?
Well, yeah.
In fact, he's not getting paid at all right now, isn't he?
Well, yeah, but he's still making $40 million a year for how many years? I think he's doing okay.
No one's feeling bad for him.
I mean, I'm willing to bet you he's probably getting a little something. I'm just saying. I'm sure he's not.
You're not buying into the whole zero paycheck?
No.
So no. Other than that little technical problem, I thought the draft went well. In fact, I even thought ESPN did an amazing job considering they reportedly had 151 live feeds that they were working with during the draft. Also, this draft was one of the largest watched drafts in NFL history, which tells you that people are just clamoring for any type of live anything. Sports programming right now.
Dave, I watched the first round from start to finish. I mean, that says a lot right now.
I know, because you never really do that.
Normally if I'm at Hooters with you guys, yeah, we're going by 9 o'clock, 9:30.
Well, yeah, because I mean, you got a long drive and to get back home.
Right.
Some things that we would have never seen if the draft was held in Vegas. How about these? And I have the visual evidence for this up on the website, like I promised everybody, cffpodcast.com. Number one, you would have never seen Cliff Kingsbury living the life of a top-line playboy in Arizona. Did you see that house?
I know you... have not stopped talking about that.
I mean,
it was nice.
You know damn well all the Instagram models were getting up in his DMs trying to hook up with that guy, right? So I have him winning the award for the coolest draft pad of the weekend. And in second place, going from playboy to just, you know, country stud, Mike Zimmer of the Minnesota Vikings, who is drafting in what I'm calling his man lodge. The huge fireplace with the custom fire screen and at least three or four big game trophy mounts on hanging on the wall. That looked tight in the basement in Minnesota.
Well, and didn't Matt LaFleur look like he was in your typical,
he looked like he was in my basement.
Yeah. He was like in a typical Wisconsin house. I mean,
yeah, up there in where is he living? Nina or no, he's living in, I can't remember what it's called. Ashwaubenon or some shit like that. I don't know. One of those northern cities.
Oh, and can you tell him to make sure like his son, you know, does something about, you know, like his nuts and stuff, because his son has
grabbing at his
issue.
At his boys.
Oh, at his package like he's never had them before, touched them before.
And the other honorable mention award for best draft pad, and
did
I don't
I go
even
too far with that one?
No, you're fine, because I got okay. Some worse coming up. So, but the other honorable mention award for best draft pad, and I don't even want to mention it because it's just one guy flaunting his money in everybody's face. But Jerry Jones making his picks for the Cowboys from his $250 million super yacht somewhere in the Gulf of Mexico, and if that doesn't scream douchebag, I don't know what does.
I thought that was sweet. I thought his pad looked pretty nice.
Yeah. And if you're going to have awards for the best draft pads, you got to have awards for the worst. The award for the worst draft pad is actually in honor of you. And every time we do a best of list, we have a tie.
Oh my gosh.
The award for worst draft pad goes to Mike Vrabel of the Tennessee Titans and Bill Belichick of the Patriots. Vrabel wins it because he either thought it would be cute to have his two kids in the shot, or he just doesn't have enough power in the family to tell his kids to grow up and not act like an idiot. One of the boys stood there with his dumbass mullet, And one was dressed like some kind of flunky Smurf superhero.
Yeah, was that supposed to be like a Titan or like a? I mean, it was a Titan colors. I'm like,
dude, I don't know what that was. And it, did you see? I mean, it was cut off most of the time, but there was also that woman sitting kind of off camera. It looked like she was sitting on a toilet, dropping a deuce.
Yes.
Well, what the hell is that? And then you got Bill Belichick, who decided to go to some 1970s decorated Airbnb cottage in Nantucket. I didn't understand that.
No, I didn't understand that one either. And he was never in the shot. It seemed like
he was in there for a little bit, and then the dog was in there.
Oh, I missed that, I guess.
And maybe finally,
I didn't watch the whole thing.
And finally, the most awkward moments in the draft. First place goes to CeeDee Lamb. Did you see this video?
Yes, I was going to bring that up, actually.
Yeah. I got this on the website. He was caught on video putting his girlfriend in her place after he was selected by the Cowboys. Lamb was talking on one cell phone, and he had his own cell phone in his other hand. His girlfriend, who was sitting next to him, promptly grabbed the cell phone out of his hand, and he quickly snatched that back while giving her some side-eyed look and shaking his head no. I mean, you got to see it. It's hilarious, the video. You could tell.
Where do you think that was going? Or what do you think?
I'm going to go see who this guy's talking to, or otherwise.
Because he had a little something on the side.
I don't know. But you could tell that she tried to do this before, and she just got put in her place. And then, did you see that he had those stupid beaver teeth? What the hell was that? Dude, get that fixed. And then there was another moment, and I tried to find the pictures or the video, but I don't even remember which head coach it was that was sitting at his desk, and he had his kid standing behind them. And when they were being shown on TV, one of the coach's daughters was grabbing her crotch the whole time. And I don't mean just once.
Right. Well, like I said, somebody needs to tell your kids ahead of time. If you're going to be on this show, first dress like a normal, like a regular person. I'm not saying you can't dress in something.
It's like,
but was it Sean Payton or the GM for the Saints? He had a daughter, a teenage daughter, who was
not wearing, practically wasn't wearing clothes.
Yeah, like cut off sweat type shorts or whatever. Like, it was a
put
bad
some clothes
look.
On. I mean, that girl grabbing her crotch. I mean, get that thing sprayed if it itches that much. I mean, Jesus. All right, enough of that. Now the important stuff. We start with this. Before the draft even started, Tampa Bay made a trade with the New England Patriots to allow Gronk to come out of retirement and play for the Buccaneers. I don't know what Tampa is trying to do. You don't just get to the playoffs or the Super Bowl by taking old, often injured players from one team that has been to the playoffs and Super Bowl over the last decade, right?
Dave, don't tell me if you have a chance to draft Gronkowski.
No, I'm not taking Gronkowski. Nope, not taking Gronkowski. Because he's going to be a timeshare.
I've heard that before.
Jeff Gordon. No, he's going to be, at best, he's going to be a timeshare because they're keeping O.J. Howard.
Three of them. Yeah. They got three tight ends.
Yeah, he's not going to do squat. I mean, this is going to be a big flop, in my opinion. Fantasy-wise, it doesn't make sense. Either he hasn't played for over a year. When you take into account the injuries from the last season he was in the league, I mean, he didn't even play at all last year.
Are you ready for my bold prediction?
Yeah, let me get my pen here. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. All right. So here's my not-so-bold prediction, because I think this is going to start coming out in other podcasts and shows.
Okay.
Don't you feel if Gronk looks healthy at the beginning of the year before the trade deadline, you're going to see one, probably O.J. Howard, since it's been rumored that he's in Bruce Arians' doghouse. That
and they could probably get the most from him, most out of him, trade-wise?
Yeah, in a trade there. That's my bold prediction.
You're thinking if Gronk looks healthy during training camp and preseason, O.J. Howard's gone?
I think O.J. Howard's gone before the trade deadline.
Okay, I'm right. O.J. Howard traded before trade deadline. Okay. I'll put that down for you. I mean, it makes sense. It's possible.
Well, you don't need three tight ends, and you sure don't need to have that much money
in those tight ends.
In those tight ends, too.
No, I mean, and what, Gronk's got a one-year contract?
Right.
So, yeah, unless they can trade away Cameron Brate, maybe they keep O.J. Howard. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe I should just say that one of the Brate or Howard will be. I'll change that.
Okay.
But I think it's going to be Howard because he's rumored to be an Arians doghouse.
Okay, and well, he's younger too. I don't know.
Right, and worth more.
And now the first round fantasy relevant picks, and our fantasy thoughts on those picks. Number one, Joe Burrow to the Bengals. There really isn't much more to say about this pick than we've said in the past. I feel terrible for Joe Burrow. He can act like he loves being able to play for the Bengals all he wants. No one's buying it, not me especially. You're going to end up wasting 4 to 5 years of your life, and the best thing that comes out of this is that the Bengals do not use their fifth-year option on you. And then you get the opportunity to go somewhere else and play for a team that actually wants to win.
I kind of disagree with you. I think if I wanted to lean one way, I actually think Cincinnati is going to have a better offensive system than the Miami Dolphins.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
What Cincinnati has at receiver now. If AJ Green's healthy, I mean, their offense.
That's a huge if.
Well, I know. Well, as long as you don't have AJ Green on your team, any of your teams,
yeah, he'll be fine.
He should be fine.
Because I mean, I don't buy all the sports geeks and talking heads out there saying that he's walking into this great situation in Cincinnati with, like you said, AJ Green, John Ross, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon. When did this collection of garbage all of a sudden become studs? I mean, AJ Green used to be a stud.
You have Sherman Lewis gone, right? I believe that was his name, Sherman Lewis or
Herman Munster.
I can't remember what it's.
The guy that Marvin Lewis. Lewis yes,
there is a Sherman Lewis when he was an offensive coordinator for the Packers. But yes. I digress. Yeah. I think they're moving in the right direction.
Yeah,
more so than what I can say about our Green Bay Packers. But go ahead. I mean, I'll let you go.
Green, he can't stay on the field for more than a game. John Ross and Tyler Boyd are still highly unproven, and Joe Mixon can't catch a cold. I mean, who's?
But didn't they draft David Mims too?
Denzel Mims. Denzel Mims from Baylor.
Denzel Mims, yeah, from Baylor.
Yeah, if they did, he's going to need to be there, and I believe AJ Green is gone. If that's true.
Well, they're signing him. They signed him to a franchise, so they probably are only looking at him for 1 year.
Mm. I don't know how this is some amazing collection of talent.
I'm not saying it's amazing, but, okay, who would you rather have? Would you rather be Joe Burrow with Tyler Boyd, possibly AJ Green, Denzel Mims, if I'm right on that,
yep.
John Ross, and Joe Mixon? And who's the tight end? CJ?
Uzama.
Uzama, okay. Do you like that, or do you like Fitzgerald / Tua? / Joe or Josh Rosen with a wide receiver core of an injury wide receiver in Preston Wilson who is coming off an injury.
I like the Miami Dolphins. We've talked about this.
You like the Miami Dolphins that much better?
Cincinnati?
Go ahead.
Rainbow bet, Miami Dolphins will have a better record than Cincinnati. He's thinking.
I want to take it because the only thing what's putting me back on it is I think New England's coming back to reality.
Yeah, but Cincinnati's in the same division, aren't they?
No.
Oh, they're in with Baltimore. See, I get those two mixed up all the time.
I think Cincinnati's in a way harder division than what Miami.
Cincinnati, Cleveland, Baltimore, and who?
Pittsburgh.
Okay, and otherwise it's Buffalo, Buffalo, New England, Jets, Miami.
Miami, correct. You can't tell me that Cincinnati's not in a tougher
division. Other than Baltimore, who, the cheating Ravens. No, I think they're about the same.
Okay.
You think about that.
I will. I gotta see. I gotta look at the schedule.
Number four, not fantasy relevant, but I just have this as the reach of the draft, goes to the New York Giants, who selected Andrew Thomas.
No, I thought you were going to say the Packers at the 20. What pick were they again?
26.
Was that the reach of the? I think that was the reach of the draft.
No. That we're going to get to that too.
Yeah, I know.
Reach of the draft, New York.
You're going to find all the positive articles that you can find that it looked good, but you're not going to read any of the negative ones.
New York Giants, who selected Andrew Thomas, who may be a first round talent, albeit late first round, early second round talent. The reach of the draft because he was the first offensive lineman off the board. They took a late first round, early second round talent when Jedrick Wills and Tristan Wirfs were still on the board. It didn't make sense at all.
Dave, you have your list. Other people have their list.
I understand that. They know more than I do.
Because if you're that upset about the fourth pick, I don't know how you cannot be upset about the Packer pick.
At number five, Tua Tagovailoa to the Dolphins.
And this pick.
In an attempt to try and recover from foolish move to not sign Drew Brees because they were afraid of his injured shoulder a long time ago, the Dolphins took a flyer on Tua, who's had more injuries than A.J. Green. They had the fifth overall pick and spent that on a quarterback who's going to sit on the bench for at least one season, maybe two. Right?
You're making my argument for me, Dave.
If one thing comes out of the Tua going this high in the draft, I hope it is that all the sports heads actually learn how to say his last name. Stop putting a freaking N in his last name.
Let it go.
No matter how many times you do it, there'll never be one there. Stop it.
Marcus Mariota. No, how is
Mariota, not Mariota.
Mariota, okay. Yeah.
Jesus.
It amazes me what bothers you and what doesn't bother you.
Does Tua have a chance of proving me and most other people who aren't blindly thinking he was still a first-round overall pick wrong? Of course he does. But I am going to have to see it to believe it.
So you're upset about Miami. You're thinking Tua is playing next year.
No,
when
actually,
we're going to get to the Packers and talk about Jordan Love, who may not play for two, maybe 3 years.
We'll get to that. We get to pick 26.
Okay.
Justin Herbert at number six to the Chargers. The Chargers sprinted the draft card up to the commissioner as soon as they heard the Dolphins crap the bed with the Tua pick. And at this point in their careers, I'm a big Herbert fan and a Tua fan.
Shocking.
Of course.
Where's Justin Herbert from?
He was a fighting duck from Oregon.
There you go. I rest my case.
Of course, I'm in the minority on that. I know you're not a Justin Herbert fan. The analysts are all saying that despite his good frame, huge arm, and top-tier brain, the production and film just aren't there. Well, let me ask you a question. Wasn't that the same thing they said about a Tom Brady when he was drafted? The analysts are comparing him to Josh Allen and Daniel Jones. I'll take that. Jones and Allen are looking like they are going to be good franchise quarterbacks, not to mention very nice fantasy quarterbacks. And when you compare Herbert and Tua, at least Herbert is going to play this year.
Once again, when's Jordan Love going to play, or should I wait again?
Well, we're at pick number 12.
Okay.
Henry Ruggs to Oakland. I love this pick.
Of course. And why do you love this pick, Dave?
Because he's from Alabama.
And?
And I said that Henry Ruggs should be the first receiver off the board. I was one of the only ones.
And he thinks it's the greatest pick in the world. Anyway, go ahead.
I hope Carr is going to be able to get him the ball. I hope his arm is strong enough.
And or Mariota. Mariota might get it.
Mariota.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You can thank me if you had Ruggs going off the board as the first wide receiver. If you remember correctly, And you probably heard at the beginning of the podcast when I did a previously thing on the show. I had Ruggs as the first wide receiver again, going completely against the experts in the draft world.
Please,
makes me a professional.
Call Judy upstairs and have her pat you on the back so you don't hurt yourself.
This is going to be a huge pick and a huge fantasy get for any fantasy GM out there. Why? Because the experts hate the pick. One expert that I read said this: Ruggs was the third or fourth productive receiver on his team last year, and the Raiders took him as the first wide receiver off the board. He won't even be an alpha receiver like Judy or Lamb have a chance to be. Really? I'll take the third or fourth most productive receiver on my team when the other three guys are just as good as me. It isn't like he was the third or fourth receiver on a team with three other horrible receivers. Bold prediction: Ruggs will be the top performing rookie receiver this season.
Wow.
Boom goes the dynamite, as they say. Places.
That is a bold prediction.
Pick number 15. As I also predicted, Jerry Jeudy to the Denver Broncos. Jerry Jeudy would be the second receiver off the board, if you remember correctly, or if you re-listen to the beginning, like I said, of this podcast. You will now see why I believe Ruggs will be the top rookie receiver in this league. Jeudy is good, but he is going to be lined up next to Cortland Sutton. You also have to remember that they still have Drew Lock as a starting quarterback in Denver, and he is still very much unproven. Jeudy will be good and just may lead the league in receptions in a few years, but I wouldn't count on him to do much for you this year in the fantasy world.
I agree with you 100%.
At pick number 17, the Beavertooth Jackass, CeeDee Lamb to the Cowboys. I hope that there are enough balls to go around to keep Lamb happy over the next 5 years. They just gave huge contracts to Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott, and there's a huge contract coming for Dak. I see Lamb becoming frustrated, and as you know, a frustrated receiver is not a fun guy to have around. Just ask the Steelers and the Giants. The Cowboys had bigger needs, and it almost feels like they made the Lamb pick just to keep him from going to the Eagles.
And that could be true, but I also feel like the Cowboys took CeeDee Lamb because I believe Gallup is a free agent.
Is he? After this
coming
year?
Coming up in the this year or next year. So why not have, I mean, it's better than what the Packers have at wide receiver.
Do you believe?
I would argue that I would take CeeDee Lamb over Davante Adams as a Packer wide receiver.
See, now you're just crazy. Do you believe Jerry Jones when he said that they weren't actually planning on taking a receiver, but they had to when they saw that CeeDee Lamb was still there?
No, I think you might have something where they had to take that receiver.
Because they thought he was supposed to be the number one guy.
Yeah, right.
Pick number 21, Jalen Reagor to the Eagles. Reagor fell in the first round mainly because he suffered from quite possibly the worst quarterback play at TCU of any top 20 receiver in the draft. He's super speedy, and he's going to be a great slot receiver to replace Nelson Aguilar. The only problem with this pick is that he isn't anywhere near as good a receiver as Justin Jefferson, who was picked, well, right after this selection at number 22, Justin Jefferson to Minnesota. A great receiver prospect who fell to the Vikings here at 22. Jefferson is being compared to Juju Smith-Schuster, which isn't bad if everything comes together for him. In fantasy terms, there isn't much else to be afraid of in Minnesota, so he should find his share of targets and catches, which will make him a top pick in dynasty leagues. Just imagine if the Vikings had a quality quarterback.
To be honest with you, I actually think he may be your most
productive rookie receiver.
Productive receiver, rookie receiver.
Bold prediction?
Yeah, I'll take that as a bold prediction. Yeah, I think Thielen obviously is getting long in the tooth. So, you know, you need a number one receiver like him. They got rid of Diggs, and the only thing they really brought in was Tajay Sharp, who you weren't even going to have in your news and notes 2 weeks.
No, I wasn't going to because his name is Tajay. Pick number 25, Brandon Ayuk to San Francisco. The 49ers traded up in the draft to pick Ayuk. He is fast and should work well next to Deebo Samuel. Again, like many of these wide receiver rookies, it's all going to hinge on the quarterback play. And I am not sold on Jimmy G. He did not prove to be the franchise guy we were all promised he would be when he was traded to the 49ers. I'm also not a fan of Ayuk's height and his injury problems. He just had core muscle surgery right before the draft. I was actually surprised that the 49ers went with the short Ayuk when Denzel Mims and T. Higgins were available. Agree?
So then we're going with our next pick, correct, is the Packers?
You don't want to talk about Brandon Ayuk?
Well, no. Did you have any story that the rumor was the Packers wanted Brandon Ayuk? And
no, the only story I heard is that the Packers were in love with Jordan Love and they wanted to trade up to him to pick him. And the only reason they traded up was because they had heard that somebody else was planning on trading up ahead of the Packers to pick him.
And see, now I heard from a reliable source that it was written somewhere or spoken somewhere that the Packers wanted Ayuk. San Francisco changed their mind and went with him.
And traded up to get him?
And no, I don't think they.
Yeah, 49ers traded up.
Oh, well, and then they traded. Yeah, there you go. 49ers traded up. Took Ayuk and the Packers, I want to say panicked, and then took the next top guy off their board, which was Jordan Love, which I will go to my deathbed saying that was a terrible, terrible pick.
Well, let's get to that pick, shall we? At number 26, the Packers select Jordan Love. They traded up in the draft to select him. Now let's get this right out here from the beginning. I am not a huge fan of this move, however. I am kind of getting pissed off at all the talking heads poo-pooing the move, all while heaping outrageous amounts of praise on other quarterback picks. Let's go through them, shall we? First, as we talked about, Tua at number 5 to the Dolphins. He isn't going to play for at least a year, and you would think after the pick was made that Tua has taken the Dolphins to the Super Bowl this year. I at least think Jordan Love is going to get into games this year, but that's coming up a little later
To be fair though, on draft day, did you not think when Tua went to Miami, you felt very confident in your prediction of the Dolphins being a playoff team?
No, I lost my confidence in that, but I still think they're going to be in the playoffs.
Okay, I feel like I either must have heard wrong or something like that. Sorry.
Oh, no, but, no. I think Tua does not help them this year.
But you did just get done saying that Tua will not help them this year.
No, I agree.
What's Jordan Love going to do for the Packers?
He doesn't have to do anything. We have the greatest quarterback of all times on the team.
So why did we draft a quarterback in the first round?
The same reason they drafted a quarterback when they had Brett Favre, the greatest quarterback of all time at that time.
But to be fair... Mm-hmm. The Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers when yes. There was rumors of Brett Favre retiring.
Weren't there always rumors of Brett Favre retiring at some point?
I'm just saying at least there was a rumor. Is there rumors of Aaron Rodgers retiring? No.
Well, if you listen to all the sports talking heads, you have to believe that Aaron Rodgers is really pissed off about this and he's not going to be with the team and he's going to leave and he's going to do this and he's going to do that and he's not happy and oh my gosh. But as we move on.
Right.
The second round pick, Jalen Hurts to Philadelphia. Now, am I missing something? Did the Eagles just not sign their young quarterback who isn't even finished with his rookie deal to a huge extension? That's right, they did. Now the professional talking heads are getting tingles in their legs as they talk about what a great selection this was for the Eagles to take Jalen Hurts, all while saying the Packers pick of Love was horrible. They're saying that Jalen Hurts will be used in a Taysom Hill kind of way next year. Well,
right.
Who's to say that the Packers aren't planning on using Jordan Love in the same Taysom Hill type of packages? One of the talking heads.
If you really believe that, we need to stop our podcast, because if you think Jordan Love has anywhere the talent, the athletic talent of a Jalen Hurts, you can't say that.
I think they're about the same.
Then quite honestly, Dave, if you're saying that about Jordan Love and Jalen Hurts, why did we pick him in the first round?
Why didn't we pick Jalen Hurts?
Jordan Love. If we're picking a Jordan Love, you never brought up the Taysom Hill analogy with Jordan Love.
No, I was saving it for this because, you know, Wayne was saying he couldn't wait to hear my defense of this pick.
Well, and I know Wayne, unfortunately, isn't going to take a lot for Wayne to agree, but I think he's going to agree with me that if you're thinking Jordan Love is going to be a Taysom Hill type.
I'm not saying he's going to be. I'm saying that you don't know that that's not the Packers' plan to use him this year to see if that would work and see if he can do that. And maybe they have plans for doing something like that. Like putting him out there as the two quarterbacks on the field, have him line up at running back or have him line up at wide receiver or have him go in for a play as a wildcat.
What's the old saying?
When you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one?
Exactly.
This is a gadget. This is when you are so good that you can afford to
if you need to be a gadget type team,
Baltimore Ravens.
That's not good.
New Orleans Saints.
At least plays Lamar Jackson every play.
Yeah, unless they're bringing in Robert Griffin III, because Lamar Jackson can't get the ball down the field.
That's because they probably scored 5 touchdowns already. That's probably why they're bringing in Robert.
Anyways, Griffin. One of the talking heads I read after the Love pick was saying this. I laughed so hard when this pick was made. Why? Rodgers still has 4 years left on his contract, and Love was horrendous last year in 2019. First of all, Rodgers is 36 years old. This is the same thing they did when they drafted Rodgers in the first place. Favre was 35 at the time. Just because Rodgers has 4 years left on his contract doesn't mean he is going to last those 4 years. This is the NFL. Nothing is guaranteed, much less those contracts. The team is also likely going to hold on to Rodgers for at least 2 more seasons, considering the dead money they are dealing with in his contract. Also, Aaron Rodgers, unlike Brett Favre, has not been the most durable quarterback in his career, correct?
Oh, yeah.
I do not see Rodgers finishing the 4 years left on his contract, and if he does, great. The Packers will have amazing trade bait in Jordan Love, much the same way they did when they had Mark Brunell during the Favre era.
As much as Arizona had when they traded Josh Rosen?
Yes.
Who was drafted
the year before.
The year before, about 9 picks earlier?
Yep. Yep. This is
they got a whopping what?
The Packers draft the stud Mark Brunell during the Favre era. He never played, and they traded him.
Jordan Love to Mark Brunell.
Yeah, that's right.
You're
Jordan Love is a righty.
Or whatever the hell his name is. You're giving him way too much credit to be looking that far ahead.
After all the hullabaloo regarding the drafting of a future backup quarterback to Aaron Rodgers, head coach Matt LaFleur made it clear what he thinks about the GOAT quarterback that he gets to coach every year. Quote.
No, Tom Brady's on Tampa Bay's defense.
Quote. Aaron is a pro, and he's the leader of our football team. And I anticipate that for a really long time.
No, I think you're right. I'm pissed. I think you were right when you said you slipped and said pissed.
I have so much respect for him, not only as a player, but the person. But the person and some of the stuff that nobody sees. So I can't tell you how much I like working with him. LaFleur went on to state, you know how this league works. I know you guys get tired of me saying this, but it's about getting better each and every day. And we're going to take it week to week in my mind. I think Aaron is by far the best quarterback I've ever been around. I think he's the best ever to play the game. I hope he can play until he decides he doesn't want to play anymore. Unquote.
Dave, let's look who Matt LaFleur has ever coached. I mean, that's like saying I don't even know my analogy I want to use here, but we're comparing Aaron Rodgers to Marcus Mariota,
Mari, and Tua Tagovailoa.
But where else did Matt LaFleur?
Tennessee? Wasn't he Tennessee?
Well, as I said.
Oh, yeah, Mariota. Mariota.
Mariota.
Yeah. Where else was he? I don't even remember anymore. Because it all started anew when he came to Green Bay.
I don't think he ever coached Tom Brady, because he would never said that this Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback. I mean, of course, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback he's ever coached. He's never been on a decent. He never coached a decent team.
And now, after the pick was made, and we've had time to reflect and come up with new arguments as to why this was a horrible pick, now there are tons of people coming out saying the coaching staff and GM are getting tired of Aaron Rodgers' passive-aggressive attitude and his ego. Even Brett Favre has now said, after first saying Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be threatened by this move, that all of a sudden now Aaron Rodgers will not finish his career with the Packers, according to Brett Favre. Which is it, Brett? Does Aaron have an ego? Absolutely. Show me a great athlete that doesn't. Brett Favre, Tom Brady, Ray Lewis, Michael Jordan, etc. Is Aaron Rodgers difficult to get along with? Absolutely. Again, show me a top athlete that isn't. Michael Jordan, Ray Lewis, Tom Brady, Brett Favre. The list goes on. Does Aaron Rodgers have the right to be difficult and have an ego? Of course he does. After all, name me an NFL quarterback who has played as many years with his team having to deal with said team simply refusing to get him weapons on the offense in the first round, especially this year. Here's an interesting question for you. How many touchdown passes does Aaron Rodgers have to a first-round receiver?
We haven't had a first-round receiver.
The answer is one, and that receiver is Mercedes Lewis, a player the Packers didn't even draft. I look at the pick of Love this way for the Packers. And I'm going to use a very relevant coronavirus lockdown example to explain it.
Oh, my God.
Please. Better to do your grocery shopping before you run out of food, so that when you get to the grocery store, when you need food, you don't end up with Spam and tofu cubes rather than the T-bone steak that you're hoping for. That's why you take Jordan Love when you don't necessarily need him right now. Do I love the pick of Jordan Love? No. I would rather add and take one of the top receivers that remained on the board. But with all due respect, the Packers know a little more about the talent on their roster than I do. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt here. Perhaps Alan Lazard will continue to improve the way he did last season. Perhaps, Equiminius Tristan Imhotep J. St. Brown will continue to play as well as he did.
If you can't say his name right, I'm going to say Mariota for the rest of my life.
Equiminius.
And Tunga or Tunga.
Tago.
Tunga for Bailoa.
Equiminius Tristan Imhotep J. St. Brown.
Equiminius St. Brown.
Equiminius Tristan Imhotep J. St. Brown.
Oh, you're saying his full name.
His full name, which boggles my mind. Anyways, maybe he'll continue to play as well as he did prior to getting injured last year, and his Packer refusal to draft a wide receiver will prove to be moot. I don't know, but I do know if you are not going to give the Eagles a hard time for drafting a quarterback when they have a younger, highly paid quarterback on their roster, then sit down and shut up when the Packers do the same thing.
But you're not even comparing apples to apples.
No, you're right. I'm comparing a starting quality receiver in Jalen Hurts.
Oh, I wish I had a recorder with me back when the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers. We were happy that they drafted him, but everybody also agreed that they should have got Favre talent. So now we're going to go two wrongs make a right. I mean,
do I need to remind you of the talent that Brett Favre had on the team during his time? Did they not go out and get Andre Rison for their Super Bowl year? And
oh my God, Dave, you're
Antonio.
Where's Andre Rison now?
Well, now he's retired.
Well, no, but I mean, where did he play after the year after with the Packers?
Didn't he retire because he had a Super Bowl ring?
No.
I don't remember.
No, he couldn't make it on any team.
Well, because he was.
I think he played a little bit the next year with the Packers, but before they cut him.
And Keith Jackson?
Oh, God.
And the sexual assaulter, allegedly, what's his name? Tight end? Mark Chimura?
No, oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, they got him talent.
Mm-hmm.
So, give it time.
Okay,
it'll be fun.
You've been talking a long time here now. So I wanted to put it out to our listeners, even though I know this is always bites me in the ass because everybody backs you up more than they back me up. But anybody out there actually has the balls enough to stand up to Dave and tell Dave he's wrong, that the Packers made a terrible pick in Jordan Love. We need a text or phone call.
On the fan line, 414-520-8249. Or you can, you know, go to our website, CFF Podcast. It's right there .com. It's right there on all the pages.
And please send me an email. I'll take any email out there that anybody says that Dave is 100% correct. And I'll tell you you're a bigger idiot than Dave is right now on this pick. The Packers needed to draft a wide receiver. I'll even take a I'd even say that linebacker. I would have said an offensive lineman. You have David Bakhtiari coming up in free agency next year. You need an offensive lineman. You can't afford to re-sign all the free agents we got coming up on next year. So you, at least worst case scenario, you take a backup to every position that you're, I mean.
They did draft some offensive linemen.
Not in the first round.
Yeah, I don't need first round ones.
Well, I mean, quite honestly, Dave, you said Josh Jones is going to be an all-pro lineman. Then why didn't the Packers take Josh Jones with the 30th pick where they should have stayed so they could have kept our fourth round pick?
Oh, then we wouldn't have had this great discussion. And finally, in the first round, the number 32 pick, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Another decision I said would be made. From a fantasy perspective, this pick is spectacular. Helaire goes to a team that scores tons of points, plus most first-round running backs, you know, unless they're playing for Pete Carroll in Seattle, receive tons of touches right away. The problem I have with this pick is this. He's short, along the lines of a Tariq Cohen. Why would you waste a first-round pick on a short running back when you had the pick of the litter with Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins? A pick that doesn't make sense to me.
But the Jordan Love pick makes sense to you.
It once you think about it and oh you God. Have you have the deep thinking mind that I do, and you can see why things
So you're giving the Packers the benefit of the doubt, Dave.
Yep.
Maybe give Kansas City the benefit of the doubt and they like Helaire better than the other running back.
I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. I told you this was a spectacular pick fantasy wise. You know, because the team he goes to and all that stuff. And it just wouldn't have been my pick. I would have had DeAndre Swift going first, but, you know.
Well, like I said, Jordan Love is definitely not what I wanted as a pick. But go ahead.
Next.
Are we getting on closer to the girl of the week?
Pretty soon. Jameis Winston signed a contract with the New Orleans Saints. This signing surprise you at all?
No, I actually like it.
They just got done re-signing Drew Brees for another 1 or 2 years, depending on whether or not you believe Sean Payton. Then they just got done signing Taysom Hill, the Saints' next starting quarterback after Brees leaves next year, to a $21 million extension through 2021. Winston will replace Bridgewater, who left for Carolina. I do not see this as anything more than Winston tutoring under Drew Brees for a future starting job on another team.
And you may be right. I think Drew Brees, this was Drew Brees last year. And if you, Dave, if you really believe Taysom Hill
starting quarterback
is going to be a starting quarterback in this league, not not given a chance to start. I'm not saying he's not going to be given a chance to start, but if you think he's going to start in this league 16 in a 16 game schedule, I don't know where anybody can think Taysom Hill is a starting quarterback.
I think he is.
He's a gadget player at best.
I'm going to wait to make this a bold prediction.
Oh, no, please. If you got a bold prediction, I want to hear it now. Tell me how great you think Taysom Hill is. Please tell me how Taysom Hill is going to be a 3,500-yard quarterback
next year?
A 1,000-yard run. Running. He's going to be basically – you call Lamar Jackson a running back, guess what Taysom Hill is?
He's a game manager.
He's a white Lamar Jackson.
Wow.
And a poor one at that.
Oh, man. Matt Breida, he was a trade casualty for the 49ers, who sent him to the Miami Dolphins for a fifth-round pick. Breida became expendable even though the 49ers signed him to a one-year extension. Breida becomes a much-needed threat as he is added to the backfield that includes Jordan Howard, whose time with the Dolphins is now looking to be at an end, as well as Kenyon Drake and Kalen Ballage. Matt Breida.
I don't know if I predicted this on the show or not. I know I spoke to our executive producers when I said that Breida or Tevin Coleman will be traded
on draft day
this year. And look at what happened. Matt Breida.
In fact,
gone.
I think you did say that on the last episode. I should have put that in the what you missed from the last. I sorry about that. I missed that.
Boy, if that was in the last show, God, I tell you, listeners, how can you not be on my side in this podcast?
The first controversy in the draft goes to the New England Patriots and their drafting of all things a kicker. Patriots selected Marshall Place kicker Justin Rohrwasher. The controversy comes because some people out there saw a tattoo on his forearm that apparently offends them. Of course, Rohrwasher, like most scared little white boys, has decided that someone being offended is more important than his constitutional rights. So he has come out and said that he's going to have the tattoo covered up. I say, don't give in to the crying and whining of the oft offended. You are a fool if you cover up this tattoo. The tattoo is a logo that allegedly is associated with a group called the Three Percenters. The Three Percenters are a group that the left wing calls a right-wing militia group. And even if that is true, there is no reason to cover it up. It was a militia group that formed this effing country. For historical purposes, the Three Percenters group, a militia named after roughly 3% of colonists who took up arms against the British, was founded in 2008. The group pushes back on the anti-government label, but says, we will defend ourselves when necessary and resist what they perceive to be government infringement on the Constitution. Frankly, I do not see a problem with any of this, and until you have proof that they are something other than that, I say this. If you don't like the tattoo, don't friggin' look at it. Getting tired of the double standard in the NFL and with the always offended people. Let's say Justin Rohrwasher really is against something with the government. So what? No one seemed to care. In fact, we were told that we had to accept Colin Kaepernick and his anti-government stances, along with the other empty-headed followers that walked with him while he was still in the NFL. I was offended by Serena Williams doing her crip walk during Wimbledon in the Olympics. No one seemed to be offended by that. Stop holding this kid to a standard that no one else is being held to. Boom goes the dynamite again, twice in one show.
Can we get the lawyer thing on there now, the views?
And opinions expressed.
Yes, please.
Now, speaking of a quarterback who truly isn't happy about his current situation, Deshaun Watson has had his fifth-year option picked up by the Houston Texans, according to sources close to the team. It is obvious to me, at least, that Watson is likely going to get a contract that will make him one of the highest-paid quarterbacks in the NFL. Word is that the team is planning on talking to him during this offseason regarding a long-term contract. If you are a Deshaun Watson, Do you even want to stay in Houston?
No.
I agree.
I don't. I wouldn't. But like I've said in lots of past shows, as soon as Watson signs his big contract, or like I said, a Patrick Mahomes signs this big contract, you're going to see Kansas City and Houston slowly
fall
down to a non-playoff team. And maybe make the playoffs, but not be, a productive playoff team.
I think I agree with that. And speaking of fifth-year options, the Cleveland Browns have announced that they will be picking up tight end David Njoku's fifth-year option. It was well known that Njoku was not happy with the previous coaching staff, and hopefully now, with Kevin Stefanski at the helm, Njoku will be more regularly part of the offense. Even with the new teammate Austin Hooper, who was signed this offseason, Stefanski is well known for running a two-tight-end setup while he was with the Vikings. I cannot imagine that same type of offensive game plan will not follow him to Cleveland. Two tight ends, right?
Yep, I agree.
Newest contract crybaby Dalvin Cook has said that he will participate in the virtual period of the Vikings offseason program, even though he desperately wants a new contract. Here comes what is likely to be yet another overpaid running back who has proved nothing, much the same way Christian McCaffrey did a couple weeks ago. I agree.
Yeah.
Wow. Tampa Bay has announced that new rookie draftee wide receiver Tyler Johnson should have an inside track to a starting job as the number three wide receiver. Johnson was a fifth-round pick for the Buccaneers out of Minnesota. He is a converted quarterback. The only question that comes to mind is this. Just a couple of weeks ago, we were all being sold a bill of goods just about how amazing the receiving talent exists in Tampa Bay right now, and Tom Brady was a shoo-in for the Super Bowl. What happened between then and now that the Buccaneers need to start a converted quarterback as a wide receiver?
Because he can't play quarterback.
In other eyebrow-raising news, after signing his one-year deal with the Saints, quarterback Jameis Winston was heard saying, this is honestly true, quote, playing with New Orleans is like a Harvard education in quarterback school, unquote. Well, Jameis, I don't know how you're going to fare in that school. You never showed yourself to be that interested in learning things. Isn't going to be like simple, like Florida State, where you can actually get away with stealing crab legs and sexually assaulting someone, allegedly. You may be in way over your head with this. I'm just warning you right now. I do not see good things coming out of this. Thank goodness this is only a one-year deal for the Saints.
And the views and the opinions expressed by Dave Knepp right now are totally on to Dave Knepp's
views. Wait, what did I say that wasn't true?
I'm just saying, you don't see the analogy of what he's saying, what he's going to get out of Sean Payton, what he's going to learn from Sean Payton and Drew Brees.
What does he know about Harvard?
He went with one of those, I don't have the words for me right now, but I'll say smartest schools.
Florida State?
There.
Florida
no,
State?
Harvard. Well, Harvard.
Yeah, but.
But he's comparing Sean Payton to Harvard.
My goodness. Next.
You don't see that?
I do see that. I just don't know how he gets off saying anything is like Harvard.
He's complimenting his coach and
finished
his starting quarterback.
With both Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams in a contract year, we, as fantasy football fans, are going to get to see which guy wants the next contract more. Obviously, one or maybe even both of these guys won't be with the team next year. There's no way they can afford two big-name contracts. And they brought in rookie running back A.J. Dillon from Boston College to let them know, hey, this isn't going to be good for one or both of you at the end of the year, so you better perform. The two running backs, yeah, they're already in line for a contract accelerator for this season. That's going to pay each of them around $2.2 million. due to the fact that they played in at least 35% of the offensive plays the first 3 years of their contract. Next, I think it's last. Yeah. Andy Dalton met the fate that he likely knew was going to come to him this week when the Bengals released him after drafting Joe Burrow, the next quarterback they're going to destroy. Speculation in the NFL world is that Dalton may be a fit for the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have Jay Gruden as their offensive coordinator. As you remember, Gruden was Dalton's former coach while with the Bengals. This would mean that Dalton would come in to a veteran backup position and maybe even beat out Gardner Minshew for the starting job. Correct?
Sure.
Wow.
I don't think so. I think he may go somewhere else. But
the other talk, of course, is Dylan going to New England. I cannot see that happening. I see Bill Belichick saying to himself and everyone that asks him privately, just wait. I'm going to show you that I can win without Tom Brady and use the guy I brought in the first place. Tom Brady didn't win those games. I did. Is this a third boom goes the dynamite?
Sure.
Well, then boom goes the dynamite. It's time for the Fantasy Girl in the Club. You ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Fantasy Girl of the Week time, everybody. Like I said at the beginning, you can check her out on the website, CFF Podcast at CFFpodcast.com. See, it's going to take me a while to get that down. I sent you the pictures. You have them on your phone, so when it comes time for your guessing.
Yep, I'm ready.
All right. Fantasy Girl this week. Her name is... Sorry, I had to get something fixed. Her name is Casey Boonstra. Casey was born May 29th, 1994 in Cronulla Beach, New South Wales, Australia. She is a model, actress, and television presenter. She began modeling at a young age, but before that she was involved in acrobatics and gymnastics at the ages of 6 to 15, training over 20 hours a week and competing in numerous state and national champion competitions. She represented Australia at the World Age Games in Portugal. She graduated from school at the age of 17 and then enrolled in courses for skin science and beauty therapy. That seems like a hard class. After taking a break from her career as a gymnast and her studies, she began focusing on modeling. In 2015, she was featured on the cover of Maxim Australia and was crowned the winner of the 2015 Maxim Australia Swimwear Model of the Year contest. After 2015, she has appeared on the cover of Maxim Australia three more times, with her most recent appearance in 2018. The Australian model and gymnast stands 5'6" tall. She weighs 123 pounds.
Wow.
Dark brown hair, green eyes. She wears a size 2 dress. And her measurements are?
Bra size, I'll go 33B. Chest, I will go 34.
Okay, you don't know how close you were to all those. Chest size 33, bra 32B.
32B, okay. Yeah, it's definitely a B cup.
I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Waist.
23. Really?
26.
No way, really?
Yeah.
That one picture you sent me.
She's an athlete.
Looks like but that one picture you sent coming out of the water.
Yeah.
that was like a stick. Okay. But anyway.
Hips.
Okay, hips. So the 26 is throwing me off. So I'm going to go 35.
33. 33,
26, 33.
With a
32. So she has
no ass. No. She's an athlete. Okay. Straight like a stick. Casey Boonstra, your Fantasy Girl of the Week, everybody. And that's it for the show this week. Join us again next time. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but I'm sure it'll be something.
I'm sure I'll be bringing up something about the Packers making a stupid pick and drafting Jordan Love. But
as always, check out our new website, cffpodcast.com. Send us emails, cffpodcast@hotmail.com or Dan at
strapped1971@yahoo.com.
And don't forget the fan line, 414-520-8249. Leave us a voicemail or a text. We'll play it or read it on the air. I think that's it. Until next time, be good.
Bye-bye.